It's Derek here from Bomb Socks, and welcome to the Bomb Bites podcast. Hey, if you're new to Bomb Bites, it's a service from our company Bomb Socks to help be a resource to you as you're studying along with the Come Follow Me curriculum for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hope you enjoy today's episode. So as we get into about the first 10 verses of chapter 13, we see a very interesting exchange here between Abinadi and the priests of King Noah. And now when the king had heard these words, he said unto his priests, "Away with this fellow and slay him, for what have we to do with him? For he is mad." There's many reasons why Abinadi reminds me of Jesus Christ. If you were to click on the word mad there, it takes you over to John 10, where the Jews say the same thing. What have we to do with him? Very similar verbiage that you find from the New Testament in those who dealt with Jesus. Same thing Abinadi is doing right here. They stood forth and attempted to lay their hands on him, but he withstood them and said unto them, "Touch me not, for God shall smite you if you lay your hands upon me. For I have not delivered the message which the Lord sent me to deliver. Neither have I told you that which ye have requested that I should tell." You guys asked me questions and I still haven't answered them. "Therefore, God will not suffer that I should be destroyed at this time." That's kind of where this picture from Arnold Freeberg that we're very familiar with. It's built right off of this, as you see these guys, these guards all over the place, these jaguars that seem to be noticing the spiritual power of Abinadi right there. "Touch me not, for I have not given the message yet, but I must fulfill the commandments wherewith God has commanded me. And because I have told you the truth, ye are angry with me. And again, because I have spoken the word of God, ye have judged me that I am mad." Now I love verse number 5. "And it came to pass that after Abinadi had spoken these words, that the people of Noah durst not lay their hands on him." Okay, pal, we're not going to touch you. "The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and," I love this phrase, "his face shone with exceeding luster, even as Moses' did while in the Mount of Sinai while speaking with the Lord." Now, one of my favorite pictures of Abinadi is this one right here. It's drawn by our friend Jeremy Winborg. In fact, we've used this picture on our Abinadi socks that we have. It shows this powerful Abinadi right there. Luster means a gentle sheen of brilliance, which I think is so cool, as he is just glowing right there. Now, you got a guy right here that appears to be paying attention. We're going to talk more about him in just a moment. Abinadi is speaking with power and authority from God. "Ye see that ye have not power to slay me, therefore I finish my message. Yea, and I perceive that it cuts you to your hearts, because I tell you the truth concerning your iniquities." Remembering that Abinadi's message was to call these people to repentance. "Yea, and my words fill you with wonder and amazement and with anger." Interesting combination of words there. "But I finish my message, and then it matters not whither I go, if it so be that I am saved." Great cross-reference when you click on the word matters. It takes you over to Daniel chapter 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are giving messages to King Nebuchadnezzar. And it's like, look, we're going to give our message, and we don't know what's going to happen to us, but we're still going to give this. Now, verse number 10, Abinadi throws something into there that I don't think they fully understand at the time. "This much I tell you, what you do with me after this shall be as a type and a shadow of things which are to come." So be very careful what you do with me, because the same thing is going to happen to you, which we see that happening later on. Now, after he had taught them the Ten Commandments, like we watched with that video yesterday, these guys have talked about how we keep the law of Moses and we follow the law of Moses. And Abinadi's like, look, if you fully understood the law of Moses, you would keep it the way the Lord intended it to. Verse number 27 of chapter 13. In fact, 27 and 28 have some wonderful truths. "And now ye have said that salvation cometh by the law of Moses. I say unto you, it is expedient that you should keep the law of Moses as yet." That is a key element there. "But I say unto you that the time shall come when it shall no more be expedient to keep the law of Moses." Yep, this law is great. There's going to be a time where this law is not going to mean what you think it means right now. In fact, I love how up to this point, you've seen a lot of Book of Mormon prophets saying, look, we keep the law of Moses because we understand that it points us to Jesus Christ. We understand that the law itself is not going to save us, but we understand that the connection to Jesus Christ, that's what's going to save us. Verse 28, "Moreover, I say unto you that salvation doth not come by the law alone. For were it not for the atonement, which God himself shall make for the sins and iniquities of his people, that they must unavoidably perish, notwithstanding the law of Moses." So you're keeping the law, that's great. It connects you to Jesus Christ. So what Abinadi then does is for the next three chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16, he takes that message and he certainly applies it to them. He teaches them about Jesus Christ. He teaches them about the atonement. He teaches them about the goodness of God through these chapters. chapters. Now back to this guy here in the corner who appears to just be listening. This is Alma in this picture. Something that Abinadi preached in these chapters changed Alma's heart, and Alma takes it and he applies it and gets it written on his heart. We don't know specifically what it is that changes Alma, but I do have some ideas of what it could be. One of my favorite quotes from Boyd K. Packer, and many of you are familiar with this, he says, "True doctrine understood changes attitudes and behavior." Chapters 14, 15, and 16 are filled with true doctrine. In fact, one of the things you could do as a family, or you could do it as an individual, is to go in and really look at these chapters and see what doctrine is taught. Which doctrine do you think was the thing that really helped Alma change his heart? I love chapter 14. In fact, chapter 14 is basically Isaiah chapter 53, and there's no basically about it. It is word for word. One of the things I think is so amazing here is Abinadi is sitting there chained just in majesty among all of these priests of King Noah. He doesn't pause and say, okay, does anybody have a copy of the Old Testament? Because I want to read to you from Isaiah, but I need some help with this. He's sitting there and he quotes the entire chapter word for word, which I think is so amazing. Many of you are familiar with verses 3, 4, and 5. They're seminary doctrinal mastery verses. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I had a cool experience one time with a particular seminary student years ago where we were talking about this very thing, and I had this young man read these verses, and this is a good kid. I think he was involved in some things in his life that he probably shouldn't be doing. I didn't know all the details, didn't care to know them. He's a good boy, but again, some things I think were a little bit amiss in his life. And I just had him read these verses. So I had him change the pronouns a little bit where it was him reading it. And this is what it looked like. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with my grief. And I hid, as it were, my face from him. He was despised and I esteemed him not. Surely he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. And I did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. And I watched this kid, and this kid just had a very somber look on his face. And I said, tell me what's going on. And he goes, well, it makes me want to change what I was planning on doing this weekend. And I'm like, that's probably a good idea. I didn't know what he was planning on doing. But the words of Jesus Christ and the words that Abinadi preached caused him to change his behavior. Wouldn't it be very cool if these were the very verses that caused Alma to change his behavior? Now, there's a lot more here. You go down to that same chapter. It talks about how the Savior will bear our iniquities. He will make intercession for the transgressors. He goes back to the question that they posed. What does it mean? How beautiful upon the mountains are those who publish peace. After Abinadi teaches about Jesus Christ, he goes into chapter 15 about verses 15 and 18. Oh, how beautiful upon the mountains were their feet. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that are still publishing peace. And again, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who shall hereafter publish peace. Yea, from this time henceforth and forever. He's like, that's great that they did this, but those who are still doing it and will do it, those are the ones that are really going to make a difference. And behold, I say unto you, this is not all, for how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of our peace. Yea, even the Lord who has redeemed his people, yea, him who has granted salvation unto his people. I wonder if these words, these very words here in these chapters, were the very things that changed Alma. I love what it teaches about Jesus Christ. I love how Abinadi teaches so clearly about the Savior, and I love these messages, and it makes me want to do better. I'm grateful for them, and I know that they are true. If you'd like to check out our video that goes with today's podcast, you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook by simply searching Bomb Socks. That's BOMSOCKS. And be sure to check out our amazingly comfortable gospel-themed socks at bombsocks.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you'll join us again for more episodes of Bomb Bites. Godspeed, and have a great day.